Man was climbing along the cliff. And as he was climbing along the cliff, he fell. And as he fell, the only thing he could do was reach out and try to grab. And as he was falling off the cliff, he grabbed onto a limb. And he's there hanging on this limb and getting weaker and weaker. So he shouted, "Is there anybody up there?" And a voice came back and said, "Yes, I'm here. I'm the Lord. Do you believe me?" And the man said, "Yes, Lord, I believe you. I believe you with all my heart, but I'm really getting tired." And the Lord said, "If you believe me, let go." And there was a pause, quietness for a moment. And the man hanging by the limb looked up again and said, "Is there anyone else up there?" Do you ever feel that way? You know, I have faith. Lord, I trust you. Lord, I believe you. But when it comes to the time when you really have to trust God, all of a sudden you're yelling, "Is there anybody else up there?" You know, maybe as we've been going through the series in Hebrews 11, you've been looking at these great men and women of faith, and you've been saying to yourself, "I wish I had faith like them. I wish I could trust God like they trust God." And maybe you even look around at other people in our church or other people you know, and you see them as people who are great people of faith. And you say to yourself, "I want to have that kind of faith." Well, how do you get it? Yeah, I think if you were to ask many people, they would think the way that you grow your faith into greater faith is to somehow well up within yourself the ability to just believe more. And I want you to know this morning, faith does not come from within. You do not grow greater faith by somehow trying to find courage within your heart. That is not how your faith is going to grow. What I would like to do this morning is teach you how to grow your faith. So let's begin here. Number one, if you're going to grow your faith, the first thing you got to do is you have to believe that your faith can grow. You have to believe that your faith can grow. I would bet there are some people here this morning that have been saved for a number of years. But you're constantly looking around at other people and saying, "I wish I was like them, I wish I was like them, I wish I was like them, I wish I was like them." And you never get to the point where you finally become them. And sometimes we think that they're always going to be them and I'm always going to be me. I look at the people in Hebrews 11 and they're just such great people, but that's not me. And sometimes we think, "I'm always going to be where I'm at and nothing's ever going to change." Well, if you're going to grow your faith, you know what? You got to really believe your faith can grow. And the Bible teaches that. The Bible teaches that every single person who has trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Lord, that your faith can become stronger. Your faith can grow. Let me give you two examples. Write these verses down in your notes. First one is 2 Corinthians 10:15. Here's what it says. "Neither do we go beyond our limits by boasting of work done by others. Our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, our area of activity among you will expand greatly." 2 Corinthians 10:15. Paul is writing to the Corinthians and he says, "Our hope is that your faith will continue to grow." We began a series in 1 Corinthians. We're going to get back to it since we're done with this, but I want you to know Paul is looking at the worst church that ever existed, the Corinthian church. And he's saying to those people, "Our hope is that your faith will grow." So if he looks at the worst group of Christians that you could ever find, the worst church you could ever find, and Paul had hope that their faith would grow, I want you to know that your faith can grow too. There's a second verse I want you to write down. It is 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. Here's what it says. 2 Thessalonians 1, 3. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more. 2 Corinthians 1, 3. Now, The Thessalonians were one of the best churches in the Bible. And Paul looks at those believers in Thessalonica and he says, your faith is growing more and more. So the worst Christians, I hope your faith grows. The best Christians, your faith is growing. You got to believe. If you are a Christian and you do what I'm going to tell you in a few moments, that your faith can grow. You know, I'm afraid that we as Christians sometimes get into the mode that we think we always have to live in a mode of defeat. Let me give you an example. We know that we are not going to be perfect until we get to heaven. So some people begin to think, well, if I'm not going to be perfect till I get to heaven, that means I'm going to sin every day. That's not what that means. Romans chapter 6 says that now that when we confess Christ as our Savior and Lord, when we become a Christian, God gives us victory over sin. You do not have to live a life of defeat. You can live a life of victory. And that means all these people in the Bible, all the people you see today that you really look up to, there should be points in your life as you grow in your faith, as you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ, that people begin to look at your life and begin to say, I want to be like them. And that can happen. You can grow. Your faith can become stronger. You can become what God wants you to be. So here's the second thing we need to know. Watch out for the things that can weaken your faith. You know, there are some things in our life that just can weaken our faith. Turn with me in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Beginning in verse 16. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have wandered away from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. So one of the things we have to be careful of is false teaching. False teaching will wreak havoc in your faith. And by that I mean anything that would go against the truth of God's word. You know, isn't it amazing that we are living in a day when you can turn on the radio, you can turn on the TV, you can go to the internet, and you can listen to sermons 24 hours a day. I want you to know 90% of what you hear that calls itself Christian is not worth a second worth listening to it. That most of what is out there on radio and TV and on the internet is not Christian and is not biblical. There are some great ministries on TV. There are some great ministries you can get on the radio and on the internet. I was listening to one this morning. There are some great ones out there, but there are also some out there that will just wreck your faith. Don't listen to the 700 Club. That's one of them. 700 Club's one of those ones that they're always bringing out garbage and junk. They're always telling you the world's going to end tomorrow. And most of what Pat Robertson says is not biblical truth. Don't listen to the 700 Club. You need to be very careful and you need to be very wise. The things that you listen to that say they are a Christian, that say they follow the word of God. And you need to be able to tell truth from what is false. Beware of what you're listening to. You know, the problem in America is not that we don't have enough of God's word. The problem is we're not living what we already know. So quit listening to 100 sermons a week and just listen to a few and apply them to your life. And be very careful of the stuff that's out there that says it's Christian when it really is not. Beware of false teaching that will get you away from the truth of God's word and will wreck your faith. Notice these guys were saying that the resurrection had already taken place, so there were some believers in Paul's day that their faith was being destroyed because they thought they had missed the resurrection. Paul says, no, you didn't miss the resurrection. These guys are teaching and preaching things that are not biblical. They're not true. So be careful what you listen to. Let me give you a second one. Not only will false teaching wreck your faith, but people can destroy your faith too. People can destroy your faith. Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 18. I'll give you a minute to turn there. Second Kings 18, the king of Assyria is attacking Judah, attacking Israel. And he comes to the walls of where the Israelites are, where Hezekiah is. And down in verse 19, 2 Kings 18, verse 19, the field commander comes out to the people who were there defending the city. And the field commander said to them, tell Hezekiah, this is what the great king, the king of Assyria, says. On what are you boasting this confidence of yours? You say you have strategy and military strength, but you speak only empty words. On whom are you depending that you rebel against me? Look now. You are depending on Egypt, that splintered reed of a staff, which pierces a man's hand and wounds him if he leans on it? Such is Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, to all who depend on him. And if you say to me, we are depending on the Lord our God, isn't he the one whose high places and altars Hezekiah removed, saying to Judah and Jerusalem, you must worship before this altar in Jerusalem? We could read on and we can learn more of this story, but let me simply say, here's what's going on. The Assyrians are before the walls of Israel, and they say to the people, look, don't listen to your king. Don't listen to Hezekiah. He's telling you to trust in God. And the ruler says, look, don't trust in God. God will not be able to save you. And don't we hear that from people today? People say, what are you doing trusting God? What has God ever done for you? What are you doing believing in God? Who's he? What are you doing trusting and why do you read your Bible? It's only a book. You can't take the Bible as the word of God. It's really not God's word. And people in many different ways, at many different times in our lives, tell us, why are you trusting God? God's not going to help you. And they seek to tear away at our faith. And you know what? It's not only the non-Christians. Remember the story of Peter? Peter was with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he tells them all, he says, look, all you guys are going to deny me. And Peter stands up and says, Lord, I'm never going to deny you. Even if all these guys fall away, Lord, I never will. And they come and they get Jesus, and they take him away. Someone says to Peter, weren't you with him? No, not me. And three times he denies the Lord. And finally, in denying the Lord, he says, you know what? I'm calling curses down on my own head. I don't believe him. I'm not with him. I don't know him. Have you ever found yourself in a place where you looked at other Christians and they were the people you lived up to? Those were the people you looked up to. Those were the people you wanted to be like. And they failed. And they sinned. And they fell short. And they shook your faith. And you've said to yourself, if they can fall, who am I? And you've said to yourself, well, if they fail, how am I ever going to trust God? There is a sense in which we need to look at other people and follow them as they follow Christ, but you got to remember, no one is perfect. People can sin. People can fall. And we need to look at others only as they follow Christ and only as they're doing what God wants them to do. But be very careful that you don't stick people way up on a pedestal so that when they fall, they cause your faith to be shaken. Beware of that. People can shake our faith. Not only the non-Christian, but also the Christian. Watch out. Be careful. Let me give you a third one. Circumstances. Circumstances can weaken our faith. Now, I don't have time to turn to every one of these, but write down in your notes Matthew chapter 14. You remember when Jesus came to Peter walking on the water, came to the disciples, and they saw Jesus come, and at first they thought Jesus was a ghost, and they were afraid. And finally, as they're all screaming out, Peter said, Lord, if that's you, tell me to come to you, and I will. And Jesus said, come. And Peter got up out of the boat, and he began to walk on water. You know, there's only two people who ever walked on water, God and Peter. The problem is, as Peter began to walk on water, he began looking around, he saw the waves, and he looked at the wind, and he began to sink. We do the same thing. We look at circumstances of life and we begin to get afraid. We begin to get scared. And our faith begins to weaken. You know, look at what's going on in our world. Japan's a mess. We're fighting in Afghanistan. We're fighting in Iraq. We're fighting in Libya. We're hearing about Syria having problems. Egypt just fell. We're hearing about Jordan having problems. We're hearing about all these different problems in the world. And many, many Christians are getting scared. Learn to trust God. Learn to trust God. Beware that you don't allow your faith, your trust in God, your trust in God's word to shake you so that if everything's going good in your life, man, you're way up here. You have problems in your life, boy, you're way down here. And there goes your life. Things are really good, so man, you're excited. You're a really good Christian. You got the joy of the Lord. This is the day, and I'm going to be excited. And then something hits, man, you're way down here. Man, things are rotten. World's falling apart. My life is a mess. Things are terrible. And then something good happens and you're way up here again and you're all excited again and isn't God great and isn't this thing, you know, this is so wonderful. And then something else happens and you're way down here again. Don't let your life be controlled by circumstances of life. Learn to trust God. Learn to put your faith in God no matter what's going on in your life. Learn to trust God above the circumstances of life. And I want you to know, it's not like taking the circumstances of life and throwing them in the drawer and kind of pretending they're not happening. But kind of take the wall of all your problems and look over the wall and look to God. Keep your focus on God. Keep your focus on God's word. Don't let life mess up your faith. And I want you to know, very easily, you can allow it to happen. Keep your trust in God. You know, go to the Psalms. And read in the Psalms how all these people, though the world was falling apart, Psalm 46, though the world was falling apart, he says, yet will I trust God. Don't be controlled by circumstances. Let me give you a fourth one. Sin. Sin will wreck your faith. Sin will weaken your faith. By that I mean sin in your life. Give you a passage, 2 Kings chapter 6. Israel's going through a terrible time. The king says, look, not even God could get us out of this mess. Why'd he say it? Because his life was not right with God. His life had sin in it. And I want you to know, when there's sin in your life, it is very hard to have a right relationship with God. It is very hard for your faith to be where it needs to be if you've got sin in your life. We got to learn to live a life of purity. We got to learn to live a life of holiness. The Bible says, God said, be holy as I am holy. Sin creates a problem. Sin creates a havoc with our relationship with God. So, these things can weaken our faith. How do we strengthen it? Number three, embrace the things that make your faith strong. Embrace the things that will make your faith strong. Turn with me to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Beginning in verse 14. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. What are you arguing about? Or what are you arguing with them about? He asked. A man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes the teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. Look at Jesus' response. Oh, unbelieving generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, said Jesus. Everything is possible for him who believes. Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Here's the first thing we need to embrace in our life if our faith is going to grow. Prayer. Prayer. Ask God to help you with your faith. Pray your doubt away. Lord God, I'm struggling. God, my faith is shaking. God, I feel like I'm having a hard time trusting you. God, help my faith to grow. Lord God, help me to trust your word. God, help me to believe you in the circumstance. God, help me not to allow everything that's going on in this world to cause my faith to shake. Father God, grow my faith. Pray. Pray your doubt away. Ask God for help as you live your life. Ask God to help your faith to become stronger. Pray. Number two, embrace faith testing events. Embrace faith testing events. James chapter 1. Listen to it, beginning in verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may become mature and complete, not lacking anything. Pass the test. People often look at difficult events with disdain. You know, we don't want problems in our life. We don't want difficulties in our life. When we pray, we ask God, God, help my life to be smooth. Lord, help my life to be free of troubles. God, help me to be free of problems. God, take all these difficulties away. And our prayer is often, God, I want everything to be good in my life. Let me say this morning, begin to think differently. Begin to think differently. When problems come your way, when difficult events come in your life, instead of praying them away, begin to pray, God, help me to learn from this. God, help me through this to trust you greater. God, help me as I go through this to grow in my faith. God, help me to go through this, and as I go through this, God, help me to pass the test. You know, we often hear older people say that they've grown because of the school of hard knocks. But I want you to know, you don't grow through the school of hard knocks. You only grow when you pass the test of hard knocks. You only grow as you go through difficult events. You only grow as you begin to trust God in a greater way. You only grow as you go through difficult events that when you come out on the end of them, you're different than when you went into them. Your relationship with God is stronger. You've grown in your faith. You're learning to trust God in a greater way. Embrace faith testing events. Ask God to help you to grow through them. I am not saying that if you lose your job, that you ought to be whistling down the street and say, oh God, I'm so thankful. Boy, this is so great. Not saying as you're laying on the side of the street having been hit by a car with a broken leg bleeding all over the place, you know, say, oh God, I just love this. It's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that God will take us through events, as it says here in James chapter 1, and through those events, he's growing our faith. Instead of asking why, God, you know, why, God, am I going through this? Begin asking, how, God? How can I use this to bring you glory? How can I use this event in my life to have a stronger faith? How can I come through this event so that as I go through this event, you gain the glory, you increase, and I decrease? Embrace faith testing events. Because as God takes you through them, he will grow your faith, but only as you pass the test. Only as you begin to trust God in a greater way. Number three. Embrace God and his promises. Turn with me in your Bible to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And there's so much here, I only want to take a moment to explain it. Romans chapter 4, beginning in verse 18. There are some great statements here about faith, and we will get to them on Sunday nights. Romans chapter 4, verse 18. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations. Against all hope, he was an old guy and God said, you're going to have a child. There was no way a God at his age should have a child. There was no way a guy at his age with a wife at her age should ever have a baby. But God said you would. And he believed God against all hope. And the end result was he became the father of a gigantic nation, the nation of Israel. In fact, follow with me as I read a couple more verses. It says in verse 19, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Since he was about 100 years old and Sarah's womb was also dead, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. Watch this. Being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. If you have not underlined that verse in your Bible, let me encourage you to do that. Because that is the essence of faith. Being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. The reason Abraham's faith did not shake, it did not weaken, it did not waver, is because he absolutely believed in his heart that God had the ability, the power to do what God had promised. You know, if you want your faith to grow, if you want to be like the people in Hebrews chapter 11, you have to believe that God has the ability to keep his word. So let me ask you this morning, has God ever lied to you? He's never lied to me. If God has never lied to you, believe him, trust him. Yeah, I read this story about a fire. This fire engulfed the house. And the child got caught in the house, young boy. So his only escape was to go out to the roof, but the roof was high enough that he was just scared to death to jump off that roof. And through the fire and through the smoke, he heard a voice. It was the voice of his father, and his father said to the son, "Jump." The boy said, "But Dad, I can't see you. I can't see you. There's too much smoke and there's too much flames. I can't see you." And he heard from his father. His father said, "Jump." And he said, "But Dad, I can't see you. I'm scared." And his father yelled back, "But I can see you. Jump." And the child jumped to safety. Let me ask you this morning, how big is your God? As you begin to realize that God is bigger than anything in this world you will ever face, as you begin to understand that God never lies, as you begin to trust God's word and that God always keeps his word, as God begins to take you through circumstances in life and you begin to pass those tests, as you begin to pray, "God, help me to grow, help my faith to become stronger," as you begin to embrace all of these things, I want you to know, a byproduct of all of that, the byproduct of all of that is that your faith will grow. Doesn't work from within. It comes from above. And as your relationship with him grows, your faith will grow. Let's pray. Father God, I pray, Lord, that you would help our faith to grow. Help us to trust you. Help us, Lord, to believe your word. And I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that right now their faith has been shaken, strengthen their faith. Help them, Lord, to pass the test that they're going through. Help them to believe, Father, that you will work in their heart and their life. Help them to believe that that work you began in their life when they got saved will not stop until it's finished. That's your promise. Help us, Lord, to believe that promise. And I pray, Lord, that in our church here, we would see people's faith grow. So that if you were to write Hebrews 11 all over again, the names of people that are sitting here right now would be found in that chapter. And Father, we pray in Jesus' name, amen.